So again, I'm going to keep this message really short, and I'll tell you what we will do afterwards. It's basically collaborative prayer that we will be doing. Now, I was very encouraged last week, which I preached on the Word of God. Right? We said, as we are going through the series on experiencing God, that God primarily speaks to us through four means: Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. Now, I was very encouraged after last week that a lot of young people actually take it upon themselves to actually make it into a resolution that they want to finally read through the entire Bible this time, even though they have tried it many times. And what's encouraging is that they're actually encouraging one another to do it, and they're going to keep each other accountable. Because oftentimes, if we are on our own by ourselves, or if we quit, nobody will know. And so there's no nothing lost there. But because people are talking about this and they're even putting it online, now they have accountability partners. And I'm very thrilled that people are really taking upon themselves to read through the Word of God, which is the most important thing, right, in hearing the Word of God. Now, that is the number one step in how to experience God, right? We are on this Experiencing God series, and I want myself to experience God, to be real and to be active in this world, and I want you to experience God, to be real and active. And the number one way we do that is by hearing the voice of God, and we do that by reading or meditating on the Word of God. And that was all last week. Now, the second portion of that statement that I shared with you from Experiencing God series is prayer. God primarily speaks to us through His Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. And we're going to learn later on how all those four elements come together, that we know definitively that it is God who is speaking to us. And so today, I will address this topic of prayer briefly, and then, again, so often we do this, preachers, we talk about prayer, but we don't actually pray. That's what we're not going to do. So we're going to talk about prayer a little bit, and then we're going to actually spend time to pray, okay? So let me just say four things about prayer. Number one, prayer, or God is pleased when we pray. God is pleased when we pray. We just read Proverbs 15:8. The Lord detests or hates the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases Him. Now, we want to please God, don't we? Because He's our loving Heavenly Father. And as children of God, we want our Father to be pleased. I love my girls. I have two girls, 13 and 11. I love my girls, and I will always love my girls, right? However, I don't always like them. There's a difference between liking and loving. I like them a whole lot better when they are pleasing to me. And when do they please me? When they simply come, and there might not be a reason why they're coming. They're not asking me for money, or they're not asking me for a new Switch game or anything like that, right? But they just want to come and then share how their day went. Or if they have some heartaches, or if they have some fights, or what have you, then they just come and then tell me, guess what, Daddy, this happened, right? And I love that. I love the fact that they're just coming to me and spending time with me, and that communicates love to me, and that communicates like to me as well. And so that pleases me as a father. So how can we please God, our Father, who has sacrificed His Son for us, right? And that is for us to simply go to Him and talk to Him. And what do we call that? We call that prayer. So God is pleased when His children simply will approach Him and talk to Him, bare our soul, tell Him whatever is in our heart, right? So that is one way we can please Him. Listen, God always wants us to come to Him. God is never too busy to, He's never too busy running the universe, all right? So He's not, okay, you know what? There's a lot of things going on in Iran, right? Between U.S. and Iran. And there's a lot of things going on in Hong Kong, right? Millions of lives are affected. So, hey, hold on, right? I don't have a time to listen to you about, you know, doing well on your test or anything like that, all right? Just hold off on that. I'm going to take care of this, and then maybe I'll listen to you. No, God does not do that. The great thing about God is that He can be in two places at once. Have you ever wanted that? You know, as a pastor, teacher, right, husband, father, like, I want it to be manly only if I can be at two places at once, right? Then I can meet two or three needs at the same time, Well, God can do that, not only in two places at once, but he can be in billion places all at once and give you 100% of his attention at all times. And that's the greatness of God. And therefore, he cares about huge things like what's going on in Iran or what's going on in Hong Kong, right? Or the disasters or tsunamis and for example, fire going on in Australia. But he also cares about what's going on in your bedroom, right? Your deepest, right? Your simple request. God listens and he cares about. And he is pleased when we go to him and talk to him about that. Second thing about prayer is that prayer is more than asking God for things. As soon as we say prayer, we're immediately thinking about what? Oh, asking God for things, right? That's called a petitionary prayer. Petition. We're making a petition. We're asking God for things. And that is a legitimate element of prayer. We should do that kind of prayer. But there's a lot more to prayer than simply asking God for things. There are other things such as adoration, right? That's praise and worship. We are telling God how great and how awesome he is, right? We do that all the time, right? 13 and 14-year-olds, you know, talk about K-pop groups and who's so cute and who's like, you know, sings like that and how can you know, sing so high and that. You're praising and worshiping. You're adoring. There's that kind of prayer. And then there's a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, right? Thank you for this. Thank you for that. I took my Sari to get ice cream last night because she was cooped up in the house all day long. And on the way, I stopped by GameStop, right? Because she's now into Nintendo Switch games. And then I didn't buy her anything because it's way too expensive. But I let her feast her eyes, right? And then she thanked me for it, right? There's that kind of prayer, thanksgiving. And then there's confession, right? We bare our souls. I've done this wrong. I've sinned here, right? I've been selfish. I've self-centered. Forgive me. There's that kind of prayer. And then there's intercession, and that is praying for other people, praying for our nation, praying for our leaders, praying for our family, praying for our church, right? Praying for somebody other than myself. There's that kind of intercessory prayers. And so there are different elements and different kinds of prayer, and asking God for things is just one of them, and we ought to be doing all these things. So when the Bible says for us to pray without ceasing, pray without stopping, how do you do that? While you're driving, I hope you're not getting down on your knees and, you know, putting your hands together, right? You shouldn't be doing that. No, you could be praying while you're driving because you're having a constant communication or conversation with God because he is always in your mind, right? And so as you're expressing what's going on in your, right, that person just cut me off and I want to cut off his head. Oh, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have thought that, right? You're praying continuously without ceasing. So prayer is more than asking God for things. Hey, are you angry? Are you disappointed? Are you jealous? Express all those things to God. That's prayer. Third thing about prayer is impossible things happen when we pray. Impossible things happen when we pray. Listen, prayer is not asking God to give us strength to do what we are capable of doing. Prayer is not mainly asking God to give us strength to do what we are already capable of doing. Yes, we do need to do that. God has given us great capacity and the will to do things. However, if that's all there is, it's all it is self-talk, right? That's self-help. And there are lots of books that are written about that, how you have to pump yourself up, right? Just believe in yourself. No, that's not what we are saying. We don't believe in ourselves. Our heart is wicked, and that's why we believe in God, somebody outside of ourselves, right? How often have we made a New Year's resolution, and then 2 weeks later, no, I'm not running. I'm not reading the Bible, right? There you go, you know. And a lot of young people are saying, what's the point of doing every year, right? I make New Year's resolutions, and it only lasts like 2 weeks, right? And so I ain't doing it, right? So we cannot believe in ourselves. We're not trustworthy. Jesus did not entrust himself to us because he knew what was in us, the Bible says. And so we believe in God. We trust in God to do things that we cannot do. Impossible things, right? That's when my children come to me. When they can't do something, right, they come to me for help, whether it's, you know, help with their math homework, for example, or driving them somewhere because they can't drive yet, right? For me to do things for them that they cannot do for themselves. And God does the impossible. Just this week, I spent a couple days doing a premarital counseling for a couple named Dara and Josh. Okay? A bunch of Joshes, and so it's none of you, right? So if you remember, some of you guys remember Miss Dara, and she was here with us for good 4 or 5 years. And she left about 2 years ago. She was a pharmacist. in her mid-30s. And man, she's just a woman of God, right, who just gave herself tirelessly to the service of God. Now, she wasn't perfect, right? She had her ups and downs and all of that, but she was a single lady. She wanted to get married. She's never had a boyfriend in her life, and she was already in her mid-30s. Now, she's in her late 30s. She told me she just turned 38, okay? So she's never had a boyfriend. She wanted to get married one day and raise her own family, right? And so secretly, this is just between you. I try to even set her up. And then I even was there when I dropped her off, when we went to the East Coast, and then she was meeting that guy, and the guy came out to the airport. It's like, oh, that looks good. Okay, there, go at it. Okay, just have your time. And I prayed for that, and no avail. Nothing happened, right? So no boyfriend still, right? No prospect of marrying, okay? And then about 2 years ago, she told me, Pastor Wong, I think God is calling me to go to Gallup, New Mexico for her job. Okay, again, she's a pharmacist, and she feels like now she needs to go into public health. She was in the Army, but now she's going to get out of it and then go into public health, and she feels like God is calling her to Gallup, New Mexico. Well, what's in Gallup, New Mexico? And she told me scorpions and rattlesnakes. I actually looked it up, Gallup, New Mexico, right? It's a city, if you call it a city, it's a town of 2,000 people, okay? Small town, middle of nowhere, okay? No Walmart, no, okay, Costco is 2 hours away, basically, all right? So to me, like, everything is, okay, in reference to Costco. If you have a Costco nearby, you're a big city, all right? No Costco, then you're nothing, all right? So this is nothing, okay? And so basically what she was doing was she was saying, right, goodbye, or she was giving up on the idea of ever getting married and raising a family. Because if she couldn't find a husband in this city, Tacoma, of 200,000, how is she going to ever find a husband when she moved into a city with 2,000 people, where there are literally more scorpions and rattlesnakes than people, right? And then when she told me that she feels now convicted to go serve at a church with 7 people. Okay, her church has 7 people. That's the entire congregation, including the pastor. All right? So I'm thinking, okay, Dara, that's awesome. That's really awesome, because we've been saying what? Hey, we have not been asking you, right, to ask yourself, what is good for me, what is best for me, my life, my future. No, seek first the kingdom of God. What's good for the kingdom, right? So rather than going to a bigger church there, right, and then simply receiving, well, you have been trained well to serve, and so go to a smallest church you can find, the struggling church, and help that church out. And that's exactly what she did. Church of 7 people, right? Couple, maybe 2 families, she said. And then the pastor was single, and she was the other single, and there you go. And they told me that she basically pays for 90% of the church's income. Her tithing, okay, is basically 90% of the church's income. So it's a tiny, tiny little church, right? Well, what about her dream of one day getting married and raising a family? However, when she told me that the pastor was single, you know what I started doing, right? God, it would be just like you, right? If this lady gave up everything, gave up her dream of ever getting married and raising her family, right? And then leaving this big city, going into a smaller city, no chance whatsoever. Human logic does not dictate that she'll find somebody there. But if she indeed, if you bring somebody there, and I told her that, hey, don't give up on that idea. God can raise a man out of rock, right? If he wants to, and give you a husband from a rock, right? He can do that. If he can do that with water, he can do that with a person. And so, last year, Valentine's Day, she texted me and said, somebody asked me for the first time in my life to be his girlfriend. And I immediately knew who that was, right? It's Pastor Josh, isn't it? I said, yep. A year later, almost to the day, February 22nd, right, next month, she's getting married to that man. Amen. So something like that, I look at that and go, yeah, that's God, right? God has done that for her. God has done that for Esther. God has done that for Ruth. And now God has done that for Dara. It boosts not only her faith, right, that Pastor Josh's faith, and then also my faith and your faith, right? It's just as we are giving up on the idea and then saying to God, God, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it's okay. Right? Let your name be glorified. That's when it happens. God raises a man out of rocks, literally, or transform a scorpion into, hopefully not, into a pastor and gives her him. Awesome. So impossible things happen when we pray. We ought not give up on praying. Last thing I'm going to say about prayer. Make the connection between the Bible reading and prayer. Make a habit of making the connection between Bible reading and prayer. Most of us think that those things are two separate things. If you try to pray every day for a set amount of time, you will inevitably run into the repetition problem, right? I mean, how many times can you pray for your job, your evil boss that you want him to be fired, right? Your family, right? Your parents, you know, your brother's salvation. And then next day you pray for same five things. And the next day, same five things, and it becomes repetitive, right? And then after a while, it's like, wait a minute. It's like a mantra. I'm saying the same thing. My head is not even engaged. My heart is not engaged. I'm just saying the same thing over and over and over. What's the point of praying? And you quit. That's usually when you quit, because there's no point in saying the same thing over and over and over, right? But however, if you think of prayer as a conversation, that's not how it's supposed to go, right? Conversation goes usually like this, okay? Think about two people having a conversation. One person speaks, the other person thinks about what that person spoke, and then speaks something in response to that. And then that person listens to that and then says something else, and then you think about that again, and then you respond, right, to that. So it's a going back and forth. It's a two-way communication. We call that conversation, right? Is Emma still here? I pick up Emma, who's my Senna, my 13-year-old friend, oftentimes on Fridays, right? And I pick her up almost every Friday. But every time I pick her up, right, they are seated in the back, right? I'm just driving, and to be honest, sometimes I'm eavesdropping, all right? Trying to listen to what they're... sometimes not. But usually it's a conversation, and even though they see each other every day or every week, at least twice every week, because they're in the worship team together too, somehow they're able to find new things to talk about. Right? It's not like, oh, last week we talked about everything we could, right? And so we have nothing to talk about this week. Usually it's not like that. Some new things happen in your life during that week, and then now you want to talk about it with your best friend. And that's how a conversation goes, right? And that's the type of relationship I believe God wants with us. And how do we do that? We do that by making the connection between the Bible and the prayer. Bible is God speaking to us. God communicating his idea to us. Prayer is us speaking back to him. So Bible reading, prayer. Bible reading, prayer. Bible reading, prayer is like he talks, you talk. He talks, you talk. He talks, you talk. Two-way conversation. And so here is where I think we go wrong. Most of us, what we do is, let's say you're reading four chapters a day of the Bible, right? All of us, we just read four chapters. We're done, right? After we are done reading with the Bible, then what do we do? Oh, it's time to pray. And oftentimes, what we pray has nothing to do with what we just read, right? We go back to, okay, what should I do? I should ask for something, right? Oh, I should give thanks. I should adore. And then it becomes repetitive. Same thing over and over and over, because there's no connection between what you just read, what God said to you, right? It's like, I don't know, it's like somebody saying, like, somebody asked me, how old are you? I'm saying, I'm from Korea. It's like, what? Right? Has nothing to do with that. And often that's how we do our devotionals. No wonder it doesn't last. And no wonder it's not intimate, right? What if we read a passage, and if something caught our eyes, maybe two, three verses later, we go, oh, what does that mean? Huh, what did you mean by that, God? And then you ask or you pray, and you talk back to God, right? And then after that, you go on reading again, 3, 4, 5, maybe a whole paragraph. And then you go, I didn't think about it that way. Huh, that's interesting. That reminds me, God, in my own life, blah, 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 right? Now you're praying. And then you go back reading again. Right? Now it's a conversation. If you did that, then your prayer just about every day will be different. And it's going to be a lot more dynamic, a lot more fun, and you will keep it up, because now you have a relationship with the living God. He's talking to you and you're talking back to him, right? And that's the way it ought to be. So today, we will practice that. And I'll use Psalm 5 for this exercise. But we can really use any scripture passage for this. Okay, some are easier and some are harder, right? But you can use any passage to do this kind of exercise. But As an example, we will use Psalm 5 for this exercise. All right? So here's what we're going to do. Can we dim the lights a little bit, sir? Not turn off all of them, but considerably dim the lights. So Psalm 5 is displayed up here. And I am going to display two or three verses at a time. This is God speaking to us. And then I want you to think about it. In other words, meditate on it. That's what it means to meditate. Thinking about, right? Putting it on your own life, circumstances, how it may apply to you, that's meditating. Okay, or talking to yourself about your own situation. Okay, it's meditation. And then talk to God regarding what he just spoke to you from his word. All right? We're going to do that. And just so that you have a model prayer, we have six such sets. I have asked certain people, certain leaders to pray. So Ange is going to start us out. So after I go through this, I'm going to give you time to pray, and Ange is going to close us out in prayer for that one. And then we're going to go to the next one. There will be six such things. All right? So for the next 15, 20 minutes or so, we're going to spend time in prayer with God, listening to him and talking to him. Are we good? All right. Can we dim the lights a little more, sir? All right. So, Psalm chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God. For to you do I pray. Think about that. Who are we praying to? My King and my God. Not the King and the God. My King and my God. And what kind of King? The King is who is not only in charge of everything, but who will be in charge of everything, every molecule in your body and in this world, right? Who controls your future. We are praying to him. So would you go to him at this point and give him praise and give him worship? Adore him, right? At this point. So think about those words and then just pray whatever comes to you about the greatness of God, okay? Your King, my King, my God, your God, okay? Let's spend a minute in prayer.
Father God, Lord, it is not about me, O God. It is not about me. And please forgive me, Lord, in the ways that I make it so. Please forgive me, Lord. Lord Jesus, in the ways that I have clouded my own heart, my spirit, my life, with things, with people that truly do not come before you, I lay them down, Lord Jesus. It's not about me, Lord, and yet you hear me. And I humble myself to that, Lord. Your presence I seek. I want to see daily in everything from the moment I wake, Lord Jesus, to the moment I lay my head down. Help me to see you more. Help me to see how you're moving in my life, in the lives around me, in the people around me. Where will I go, Lord Jesus? What will I do? Father, let me be sensitive enough to allow you to determine that, Lord Jesus, and not my own agenda. Lord God, I pray, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart truly, truly be acceptable to you. I thank you now, Lord Jesus, that you are a jealous God. I thank you, sir, so much, because it is your love for me that wants me connected to you, and I yield to that, Lord God. More so than ever before, let this be the moment that I do that, Lord. And I pray all these precious things in your name, in your magnificent, mighty, altering, life-altering, changing name. Powerful name. Amen.
Verses 3, 4, and 5. O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You hate all evildoers. Who are you thinking of? The evildoers. My boss, my parents, my sister, perhaps? No. Have you thought me? Me. I am the evildoer, right? It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. The problem with the world is not the people out there, right? It's the person in here. Prayer of confession, right? Humble and contrite heart, the Lord will not despise. So at this point, would you point your own heart and say, this is what's wrong with me, right? I am what's wrong with the world. My heart. I need to confess my own sins for my selfishness, self-centeredness, right? Making my selfish plans for my future, regardless of you or your kingdom or the people that you love. So I'll give you a minute again, praying the prayer of confession, right? Self-centeredness, individualistic, sin-justifying ways. Go to God. And God said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, right? As if nothing happened. Okay? We have that kind of God. So would you go to God, right? Just between you and the Lord, confessing, agreeing with God about your sins. Call it what it is, evil, sinful, selfish. Okay? So let's go to God.
Dear Heavenly Father, you know of my selfishness, my self-centeredness, my laziness more than anyone else. Oftentimes my pride gets to me and I don't like to confess to you. But Lord, I pray that you give me humility, you make me humble, so that I can come to you with these confessions, Lord, and ask you for forgiveness. I read these Psalms by David and I envy, I'm jealous of how he can come to you and confess to you all of these things, Lord, with such heart and emotion. And once again, I pray for the humility to be able to come to you and do that. And it's in your Son's name I pray. Jesus, amen.
verse 6. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors or hates the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I'll bow down towards your holy temple in the fear of you. What does it look like he's doing? Think about those words again. Abundance of your steadfast love will enter your house. That glorious, permanent home where there will be many rooms where we will rule the earth, right? The feeling of thanksgiving ought to arise, right, from us. Even though we are undeserving, God has given all of this to us. Even though we deserve death and hell, he gave us heaven and eternal life, right? How thankful we ought to be. And so right now, why don't you go to God and thank him for your salvation? Thank him for making you his child, right? Thank him for what he's going to do in the future of your life, immediate as well as the far future, even after your death, which is inevitable, right? Knowing that our life is secure in Christ. Would you please, at this point, give him thanks, right? And honor and glory that he deserves, okay? So let's go to God one more time. Father God, we thank you.
I'm thankful for all my circumstances, Lord Jesus, whether good or bad, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm just thankful that I made it out to Sunday school today, Lord Jesus. Lord, because in your word, it says in 1 Thessalonians, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, Lord Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for each and every one of my family members, Lord Jesus. I just thank you for my job, Lord Jesus. Lord, there's so much to be thankful for. I'm just thankful to know you, Lord God. Thankful. Lord, I'm just so thankful of this past few months that I had with my friend, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you just opened my eyes to so much and you just blessed me, Lord Jesus. Lord, but I just thank you and I can't thank you enough, Lord Jesus. And these great things I pray. Amen.
Amen. Verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. He's asking for things, and it's perfectly all right to ask for things, even small things. This is called petitionary prayer, okay? We are asking God to do things for us. Make your way straight before me, right? Make me righteous. Remove my enemies, okay? So whatever is in your heart, right? Would you go to God? Because we have a great God who did not spare his own son. How much more will he give you all things? So let's go to God. Okay? And asking for things, and be specific. Okay? If it's God's will, then he will give it to you.
Heavenly Father, we praise you for your faithfulness, for your grace, for your love, that you are a righteous and a holy God. You have saved us that we might be conformed to your image. You said in your word to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And every kingdom has a king. We can't have a savior without having a Lord. I pray for each one of us here today that we will recognize that you are Lord of our lives and we aren't. We look to you, Lord. You are the way and the truth and the life. And as we follow you, we will be blessed. We will walk in peace and righteousness and joy of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will lead us by your Spirit, that we will not lean on our own understanding amidst our circumstances, and Lord, that we will be obedient, that it won't depend on how we feel. But first and foremost, Lord, I pray that we will come to the place where we will truly trust you and surrender our lives and our wills completely, that we might truly experience you in your fullness, and that we might be able to be used of you as a light to one another and to those that live outside of your peace and your love. We praise you and we thank you. And we pray that all the glory goes to you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Two more. Verse 9. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. He's talking about his enemies. Okay? Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Because of the abundance of their transgressions, cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. He's praying against evil, is he not? So I believe that we need to pray for as well as pray against. We are to pray against Satan and his cohorts, his dark forces, and his evil powers in this world. So at this time, would you pray against all the evils that you see around you, whether it's injustice, whether it's addiction, whether it's abuse, whether it's racism, all these things that God did not want that are present in this world, right? We need to pray against those things as well. So we're not only praying against physical things, but principalities that are behind these things. And so would you, as the psalmist did, okay, pray against everything that is around you, the evil that you see around you. Okay? Let's spend some time in prayer. Father,
Lord, you are God. Your word reminds me in John 10:10, that Satan, the devil, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Father God, I am weak, but you are my rock. I trust only in you, Lord. I trust in your word. Your word also tells me, Father God, that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to give me life and give me life abundantly. Father God, I yield my life to you. I ask you, Father God, that you may bind Satan and his evil schemes. Help me, O Lord, to grow closer to you. Your word says that if I grow closer to you, you will grow closer to me. So I beg of you, Lord, let me always, always seek to grow closer to you, Lord. For I need you, Lord, to keep the temptations of this world, the complications of the mind, Father God, that wants to pull me away from you, to destroy the joy that only you can give me in my life, Father God. So I pray to you, Lord God, bind Satan. Give me that breakthrough, O Lord. Give me that breakthrough so I can be free from the schemes of Satan and the evil spirits of this world. I pray this not only for me, Father God, for all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Give us, Father God, the mind of Christ so that we can always seek you first. And we ask this in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
The last one. By the way, you've been praying for 20 minutes. You're doing great. The last one. And I'm going to invite the worship team up here for the last one. Verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them. And that those who love your name may exalt in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Who is he praying for now? He's praying for the righteous, right? He's praying for those people around them who will follow God. This is called the prayer of intercession, right? Praying for the good of others. And so, would you at this point pray for one another? Pray for me. Pray for our church. Pray for your family. Pray for the ones that are sitting next to you. You know their needs more than anybody else, right? But in that, not only that God will fix their problem, whether it's money or relationship, whatever, right? But that they will be able to see God in it, because that's the end goal of us, right? That we may know this God, right, who is overseeing over every problem that we might have. And so pray for them. Pray that God will break through to them as Mr. Taylor just prayed. Okay, so let's pray for one another at this point, and then worship him will end us. Okay, so let's pray.
To be filled with your spirit and to feel your presence in this place, Lord God. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters here, for shepherding me and for helping me grow. And I pray that as we go out and cast ourselves into the world, that we will use your word to guard our hearts and guard our souls, Lord God, and guard our minds from the evil things, Lord God. And I pray that you will